some sound, please? That would be helpful. We'll just keep talking until we can hear ourselves. That would be fine. I think for right now, that's great. He had come to be king. Indeed. That's what he had hoped for. That's what the disciples had hoped for in the scene we had just heard. But again and again, the religious leaders, those who were the gatekeepers at the time, said, I don't think so. You're not the king we expected. How little they realized Jesus was indeed the royal line of the royal family, the promised royal family, David's own son. But even now, in these final days in the temple, they still cluelessly rejected who he might be. We can imagine Jesus standing in the temple, knowing this is what he had been born for, to be in this place, to be its leader, only to have the leaders simply answer a basic question and be unable to connect the dots. The dots led back 1,000 years. The dots led back 1,000 years. There we go, that's better, thank you. Those 1,000 years were the time when David himself had longed for a temple that could be the place where God, the king, would come and reside with his people. The place where the human appointed king, of which he was the first chosen one whose heart had sought after God, would be there to lead the worship. Centuries later, here was Jesus. I wonder if they could have heard the song that David wrote about this amazing vision he had received. Although he didn't build the temple himself, and this was the second reconstruction of it, I almost wonder if we can hear David's poetic voice speaking the words that Jesus was just quoting. Hear the word of the Lord, David's word.
Of David, a psalm. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. The Lord will extend your mighty scepter from Zion, saying, rule in the midst of your enemies. Your troops will be willing on the day of battle, arrayed in holy splendor. Your young men will come to you like dew from the morning's womb. The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He will crush kings on the day of wrath. He will judge nations, heaping up the dead and crushing the rulers of the whole earth. He will drink from a brook along the way, and so he will lift his head high. This is the word of the Lord.
David had received, not knowing that he was seeing something amazing that no other human would have the opportunity to see. Interesting, though, how important these words became. This psalm is more quoted in the New Testament than any other part of the Bible. Jesus himself quotes it. The disciples quote it. Paul quotes it. Everyone quotes it. Because this is the vision of who God is and how God comes. Jesus himself had just asked the very question, hoping again the dots would be connected, and sadly, they were not. But notice with me for a moment a couple of big ideas that come out of this psalm, bursting from the voice of God himself. First, let's cut through the confusion. The Lord said to my Lord, someone's talking to himself. Oh, I'm afraid that our English translation has lost clarity, so let me give some ideas. The first time this word appears, it's the word Lord. But because the Hebrews reference the name, hallowed be thy name, they will not distinguish which names. They will just use the same generic term so that they know they're not disrespecting the holy name. But the word that's used in the very first noun of the sentence, the Lord, is referring to the Almighty One. The one who was in a bush that burned that said, go and tell them, Moses, that my name is I am. That name. Tell them I am speaking. That Lord says to my Lord. David recognizes there's another figure here talking to God. It's someone who is indeed his master. Someone whose voice he's known. Someone whose voice he's followed, whether it be out on a shepherd's field watching for bears and lions to protect protect the sheep, or whether it's been on the battlefield against behemoths like Goliath, or whether it's been running for his life as a fugitive in the land of the Philistines, David knows this one's voice, his master, and he's always followed it up to this point. The Lord says to my Lord. What does he say? Oh, it's so true. The words that come out of the Holy One's mouth are words that are instructed not just for David, not just for the king who will come, who will be the ultimate king, but also for all of us who long to be his subjects. And what's that first word? Sit at my right until I make your enemies your footstool. So many times we hear this and we think of a footstool as an object that just simply we put our feet up on. Imagine with me for a minute this being the footstool. Imagine with me this being the chair. In our North American comfortable first world context, a footstool works something like this. Maybe you have one at home, right? You put your feet on it. It's for rest. And maybe in a way that's true, but in a royal court, that's not what a footstool looks like. I've never seen Her Majesty sit like this ever. That is completely inappropriate. The Majesty uses the footstool on which to elevate themselves just a little bit higher when they're about to say something important or exalt themselves above others. A footstool is meant to be used like this in the royal context. There's a platform on which the Majesty stands up and says, this is what I will do. Your enemies will actually serve the purpose of lifting you higher. You see, the voice of God is saying, Jesus, there are enemies, and they are going to take you out. But I will even use them against themselves, and by working against you, they will lift you even higher. Their resistance, their persecution, their rejection of you will only exalt you higher than you would be on the throne I've created. The voice of the divine one says, sit at my right hand, the place of honor. It is the most honored of places. We sing about it, we've sung songs about it today. Indeed, there is one who is next to God. And for a moment we see that God is more than just one. God is in persons. There is a divine majesty. There is a Lord of all things. There is a multiple nature to this God. He isn't just monolithic one. He's fuller than that. He addresses himself in different persons, and indeed they are. This is one of the passages that the early church couldn't get away with to say, couldn't get away from, but always had to come back saying, there's more to this God than just a mono-personal existence. From these ideas, our understanding of three in one, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is shaped. But sit here, stand here at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet.
And notice what comes, and notice what comes next. Besides the volume turning on, what comes next is how this master, this voice that David has known so well, this flesh and blood, physical one who will come, how he impacts others in the verses that follow from it. Your troops will be willing on the day of battle, arrayed in holy majesty from the dawn, womb of the dawn. You will receive the dew of your youth. You see, everywhere this king goes, he will have not just God's power, not just a position of respect and an ear of the divine majesty. He will also have influence. People will just rally to him, particularly the young who have all the strength of their life to give. They'll come to him willing. They'll find no fault with him. Indeed, Jesus' disciples were young men like himself. Everyone who ever heard him was drawn to him magnetically. The crowds filled houses. They filled fields. They pushed him onto the edge of a lake. They never stopped coming. They couldn't get enough of him. And the fact is, this king is so magnetic that everyone loves him. Long after his political career is over, people are still itching to get closer to him. That's what this king will be like. That's how you'll know this is the king. He won't just bring controversy. He'll bring masses, and they'll just keep coming, the young, the old. He'll not be proud. Those who will resist him will be the proud. Those who resist him will be those who are stuck in their way of thinking, their way of doing life, their way of doing church, their way of being cynical about everybody's going to let them down, I should only trust myself. Yeah, those people won't get it. Just like the people in the temple the day Jesus offered this one last clue from Psalm 110. But everyone else will come to him. Everyone else will say, yes. Everyone else will say, show me. Everyone else will say, lead me. Everyone else will say, I can't wait to do what you show me next, Jesus. Do you know that voice? Oh, there's some singers who know that voice. There's a video I thought we should look at today. When Jesus says yes, no one can say no. The power is influence. The power is real. Can we show the video now, please? Thank you. Jesus, yes.
Yeah.
Jesus says yes, no one can say no. He calls us, he attracts us, and across the centuries, his presence as the loving master that David first heard, that the disciples first heard, also calls to us. Will you take me as your master? Will you let my loving voice guide you? Maybe you're here today and you've never said to him, yes, Lord, I will take you as my master. Hear me, Lord, as I speak to you, and say that too. Let's take a minute to pray just now. Father, you are the great and divine majesty, and you have extended your scepter of mercy into our world, sending our master, our Lord Jesus. We recognize that he has come from you, but some of us have never embraced that option. Help us, Lord, as we say yes to you. Forgive us for the selfish ways we've ruled our own kingdom. And let your spirit, O Holy Jesus, enter into us, that we may indeed recognize your voice and find the fulfillment of every good thing you have in mind for us. No matter the difficulty, no matter the cost, for you are the loving King and worthy of our praise. We ask this now in Christ's name. Amen. If you're here today and you have never prayed a prayer that included those concepts, this is an important day for you. I hope you'll talk to me and tell me that you have so that I can rejoice with you. But let us notice what else the divine voice says. A little further down in verse 4, again the booming voice of the majesty says, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek, who is that? Someone whose name I'm glad I don't have. Indeed, it's a lot of syllables, and one from an Eastern tongue that many of us would never know how to speak. But Melchizedek appears on the scene way back when God first called Abraham to follow him and his wife to a country where he would lead them. There they experienced wandering and wandering. There they also experienced trouble. There also one of their relatives was taken captive by kings as they made their wars with each other. And when Abram found out that his nephew and his wife and his nephew's wife had been captured by foreign kings, he pressed after them to take back his family. And as he returned to the area God had given him to live, Melchizedek, we're told, a priest of the Most High God, comes to him and offers him bread and cup. Jesus, you will be a priest of the Most High who comes to offer bread and cup. Renewal of strength to those who've worked hard and fought many battles in your service. You will be the one who not just redeems into your kingdom, but renews those who are in your kingdom with strength from the bread and cup that you yourself pour out, O new Melchizedek. And in these words, Jesus' destiny is made clear for us too. He is the one who will pour himself out, offering renewal of strength and refreshment and help that we may survive and be safe in spite of all the battles that go on around us. Melchizedek is in heaven. He is at the right hand of God. His name is Jesus. He is giving, he is serving, he is blessing, even you, even now. Jesus brings us closer to God. But as our eyes fall upon the earth and we look out, we see what we long for to be made right. We see injustice, we see sin, and all of its broken manifestations. How it shatters the lives of our families, our community, even our nation. Things that are done wrong across the world that violate the life and love that God has created the world to be filled with are shattered. and we pray the words, as violent as they sound at the end of this psalm, O God, crush the kings on the day of your wrath. Heap up the dead. Crush the rulers in the whole earth. O God, how good it will be when despotic rulers and crooked co-workers and predatory neighbors and abusive family members and false betraying friends all experience the crushing power of God. Oh, that sounds so unchristian to pray, doesn't it? But indeed, his coming in judgment is something we anticipate with gladness because we know we have come to the mercy, and all who hear our call in the Master's name also can experience mercy and not crushing. Dear friends, who are you pleading with? Who are you praying for today? Who are you longing to deliver from the crushing blow that will come when this king, who uses enemies as his footstool, will show up? He will indeed be lifted high, sometimes in our praises, sometimes by the crushing of those under his feet. This is the universe that God desires to reorder. This is the way in which the divine will appear again upon the earth. He comes. But lest we be left with a scene of piled up corpses and blood pouring out, the mercy of this final verse is David's last image to us. He will drink from a brook beside the way. Therefore, he will lift up his head. Indeed, God calls us to join him at the side, to find renewal and refreshment, to lift up our head and see what he is recreating all around us. What is God recreating in you? What is God recreating in your family? What is God longing to create in your workplace, in your neighborhood, in mine? Will I be part of it? Or will I be focused on fixing my own universe? Oh, Jesus, if only the religious leaders could have seen who you were. If only they could have heard the voice of the Divine One and the voice of their Master speaking to them so sweetly from these very words that David had written them 1,000 years ago in a temple built just for that moment, in a place made sacred by your presence. If only. Those who gather to worship in this brick temple today, if only you could hear his voice. If only we could be a part of what he longs to do, his creating, his refreshing, his redeeming, his renewing. And indeed, he is faithful. He does these things as we come to him as humble servants. Today, we're going to partake the very things Melchizedek has brought, the very things that Jesus, who is that one, prepares for us. And as we do, we're going to do it a little differently than normal. But let us begin with the sacred words of instruction.
Are you ready to live in true submission to Jesus the King? Have you given yourself to serve him and live in love and harmony with your neighbors? Will you turn away from sin and lead a new life, following God's holy commands? If so, you are invited to draw near with faith and take this holy sacrament. Jesus, the new Melchizedek, brings bread and cup for our comfort and strength. As we receive from his hand, let us make our faith confession, reading together the Apostles' Creed.
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who he was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, and suffered under Pontius Pilate. He was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty, from which he will come to judge the living and the dead. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our fellowship is with the World Methodist Communion of Churches, but all who confess this creed of faith are welcome at the Lord's table. Let us pray. God of grace and mercy, we thank you that you have ever loved us and provided for our redemption. Thank you for your Son, our King, who has indeed died to save us, and for your Spirit who invites us to draw near. Guide us now as we commemorate the suffering of our Lord. Help us remember the cost of our salvation. Let us commune with you and each other. Consecrate the bread and cup here prepared so that as we partake of them, we may receive the spiritual benefits of Christ's broken body and shed blood. It is in his name we pray. Amen. The scepter of the Lord has been extended to us, just as the psalm has written. And we are invited to come before the Lord in the majesty of his presence. Our communion table is always meant to be a symbol of God's throne, the place where the Lord breaks and shows himself in human form. And so today we're going to take communion a little differently. Our young adults have been leading us through the service, and they're going to lead us now. And here's how you are going to come to receive, and I hope that you will, if you are one who has taken his lordship. You'll come by the center aisle, and on either side, two rows, this row always emptying to these kneeling rails, and this side to these kneeling rails. Come to the kneeling rails in groups of seven. If you cannot kneel, stand in front of the rail. Our young adults will come by you and provide the bread and then the cup. You are to take them and to receive them and eat them as you receive them. And then they will also come by and take the empty cup from you. After you have received, stand or turn and go out the side aisles so the next groups of seven may proceed to the kneeling rail as well. If you have physical mobility issues and you need to be served, please alert one of the ushers. They will be sure that it is brought to you. But for those of us to whom God has given strength, let us come gladly and humbly before the throne, for his mercy is extended even to us. Please come.
guide my sails. The anchor in the waves, oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart be the fire inside my veins. The echo of my days, oh, he is my song. You are good, good.
Good.
king of my heart. Be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in the waves. Oh, he is my song. Let the king of my heart.